Hey everyone, this is David Grahams with Valiant Ministries International. Thanks for listening to this week's message. I hope it edifies, inspires, and grows you up in God's will for your life. A new episode is published every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in every week. I'd love to know how this ministry is impacting your life, so feel free to let me know by going to valiantmi.com/contact or by posting a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at valiantmi.com/give. This is episode 57. I'm titling this one, How to Know What to Do with Your Life. And in this episode, I am addressing a very common concern, especially in Christian communities, but really all over the world. People want to know what they should do with their lives. People try to go to school to get a good degree so they can get a good job, so they can have a secure future, to be financially stable in the future, whatever. You can apply this to a bunch of different people's lives. But ultimately, the point is all of us do some sort of planning in our lives. We try to find out what we can do with our lives so that we have a significant impact, or so we feel like we matter in the world. All of us have that desire. But with this message, I want to explain to you guys that all of the planning that we do ultimately will be totally futile if it is not in agreement with God's desire for our lives. Even if you get your dream job, if you find a way to make a living doing something that you absolutely love, even something like that is totally futile if it is not in alignment with God's desire for your life. Now, I'm not talking about God's desire for your life in the sense of your vocational calling, because that's a whole nother subject. I'm talking about what kind of person has God created you to be, because that's ultimately what matters. You are not on this earth to find out what you're called to do. You're really on this earth to find out who you are called to be. And what you do is at the very most secondary to who you're called to be. Your vocation is simply an avenue through which you represent Jesus to the world around you. If you're in the business world, you represent Jesus in the business world. If you're in the entertainment world, you represent Jesus in the entertainment world. A vocation is, in a sense, just an outlet for a ministry that is in your life, and that is to be an ambassador of Christ. That is your calling. I think that in the church, we have made the common mistake of placing more emphasis on a person's calling, vocationally, so to speak, than we put on a person's created purpose. And so sometimes we confuse the two. They are communicated in a way that seems to be interchangeable, as if someone's vocational calling is who they're called to be. It's what defines them, but that's not true. What you do in your life, what your career path is, does not define you in any way. We're children of God, we're ambassadors of Christ, disciples called to make disciples. We are not here to be our own person. But wait a minute, then somebody may say to me, or to you, well, why does everyone have a unique personality? Everyone's different. Yes, everyone's different. Everyone has a unique personality. Everyone has a unique supply to offer the world around them. But sometimes we confuse individuality with pride, meaning oftentimes we use our own uniqueness as an excuse to be who we want to be, who we feel we should be, rather than who God has called us to be. Everything we are is to be brought into submission to who Jesus is. His character, his nature, is to be the framework for who we are as individuals. In other words, God created each and every one of us different because he wants every individual to be a unique expression of what he is like. He created us to be individual expressions of himself, and together we create a complete picture of what God is like. That's why he said we were made in his image. So if this is our created purpose, if we are here to represent the nature of our Father in heaven, then what we do vocationally has very little meaning in the scope of all eternity. Now, does God desire that we each have a vocation that we enjoy? Absolutely. I 100% believe that. But a career is an avenue. It's an opportunity, actually, I would say. It's an opportunity, an arena of life that we have an opportunity in which to represent Jesus. But as Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. The career you have, the house you have, the car you have, the money you make has absolutely nothing to do with what defines you or what makes your life valuable. Too many of us allow our circumstances, what happens around us, how we were raised, the job we have, the friends we have. We allow things that happen on this earth to define us or to determine what our value is in this world. But that is a very detrimental way to live. We cannot allow our individuality to become an excuse for independence from God. Because Jesus said in John 15 that apart from him, we can do nothing. Now that doesn't mean you can't be successful without faith in Jesus. That's not what he's saying. It means that everything that you do apart from Christ will have no meaning in the end. It will be worthless, futile. It will not have any value in the scope of all eternity. You can accomplish nothing of value apart from Jesus. You cannot live your life simply trying to promote who you are, trying to advertise yourself, because this isn't about your job. It's not about your career. It's not even about your ministry, if you're in the ministry. You are not here to advertise yourself. You're not here to advertise what you can offer to the world. You are here to magnify who Jesus is to the world. That must be your motive. That must be your drive in everything that you do. And if that is your drive, then you understand that any vocation, any career path is an avenue through which to magnify his name. We cannot allow individuality, your uniqueness, to become an excuse for independence from God. We hear so often in the world that each and every one of us should try to become the best version of ourselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, trying to better yourself physically, soulishly, spiritually, that's important. But if you're trying to become the best version of yourself without recognition of the fact that you're called to be like Jesus, then that personal growth will actually become idolatry, making yourself your own God. God does not want you to be the best version of yourself. He wants you to be a version of Jesus. Your personality is to be a unique expression of the nature of Christ, the nature of God. And that understanding is supposed to then become the motivation for personal growth, because we're not trying to be just a better version of ourselves. We're trying to be the best expression of Jesus that we can be. And that includes things like education and exercise. We're bettering ourselves to become better expressions of him. That's why we do what we do. Now, I want to read you guys a scripture in Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, Colossians 3 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now, there's a whole lot I could say on this passage, but I just want to focus on verse 3 for now to get a point across for this message in this episode. And verse 3 of Colossians 3 says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." I'll read that again. "You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So here's what I'm trying to say with this passage. We say a lot in Christian circles that the old man has died, the sinful man has died, the sinful nature has died. Right, who we used to be before Christ, BC, that person has died. It's no longer relevant. It no longer is to have influence in our lives. What we were should no longer define us any longer. That's true. But it doesn't just say that your old man has died. It says that you died. So what's the distinction? Jesus did not give his life just so that the sinful parts of us would be forgiven. Jesus died so that we could die and then be resurrected and become a new person entirely. In other words, it's not just about the sinful parts of you being forgiven. It's not just about the old man dying. It's about you dying entirely, everything you are being totally remade. So even the good parts of you, even the parts about your personality or yourself that you like, are supposed to be remade, recreated, enhanced in every way. You become a glorified, so to speak, version of yourself. But a glorified version of you is really the version of you that is most like Jesus. It is not just your sinful nature that died, it is you that died. Even the parts of you that you are somewhat happy with or pleased with, even that part of you is supposed to die. Why? Because we're not here to be just us, we're here to be like him. When you totally die to yourself, not just die to your sinful nature, but die to yourself, die to who you think you should be, and realize that you were made to be like him in every way, shape, and form, then you give permission for the Lord to improve and enhance everything about you. This isn't just about trying to clean up your life. This isn't just about Jesus trying to make you a little bit more pure so that you sin less. This is about enhancing everything you are, forgiving you of the past, killing your old nature, giving you a new nature so that everything you are comes into alignment with who he is. So if not just your sinful nature died, but if you died, then what's left? Well, what's left is Jesus living in you. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. So think of it this way. Jesus did not just die on the cross to kill your sinful nature. He died on the cross so that you could die to yourself entirely and be resurrected as a version of Jesus, a version of himself. So if I'm to use my own life as an example, my own person as an example, it's not actually supposed to be David Grahams who lives and breathes anymore. I am not, as a person, I'm not supposed to be David Grahams anymore. I'm supposed to be Jesus living in this body of David Grahams. The only reason my heart's beating is because of Jesus living in me. Because the Bible says that the body without the spirit is dead. And what's the spirit that lives in me? The spirit is Jesus. Jesus is the one who lives in me. The Holy Spirit is what gives me life. So my physical body is simply like an earth suit for Jesus. I'm not here to be my own person anymore. I'm here to be a version of him. Jesus did not die on the cross just so that he could kill your sinful nature. He died on the cross so that he could kill you and resurrect you as like him in every way, shape, and form. That's why he died. This isn't about becoming a better version of you. This is about becoming like him. Because that's the best version of you you can be, and that's who he created you to be from the beginning. So if this is our identity, then why do we become so tangled up in trying to find the right career path? In trying to make our dreams come true, in trying to accumulate stuff for ourselves. That kind of life, even if you have good intentions, it's still all about you. That's still not dying to yourself. Trying to figure out or find out what you should do with your life becomes a question that is much easier to answer when you understand that you are not here to build a life for yourself. You are here to build his kingdom, because you died. I died. I am not David Grahams anymore. I am supposed to be Jesus living in the body of David Grahams. That's my purpose. That's where my life is found. So it's not actually really about finding something to do with your life. It's about being like Jesus and being like Jesus in whatever career path you have chosen. Your gifts and talents, the unique aspects of your personality, really begin to thrive and to bloom when your purpose is simply to be an expression of Jesus. If you make it your motive just to be like Jesus in every way you can and to everyone you can, then your gifts and talents will come out. You will find something to do with your life. You will find a career path. You'll find a good job. You'll find a vocation. Those kinds of things are secondary to your calling to be like Jesus. Make it a priority to be who you were created to be first, and then what you were called to do will be made clear. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." Now, if you look up the Hebrew words that are used in this verse, here's really what it says. There are many plans, many purposes in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's plans, the Lord's purpose, that's what's going to stand. And that's what will be accomplished. So think about it this way. You can plan your own life all you want. You can pick any career you want. You can purpose to do anything. You can endeavor to do anything. You can aspire to be anything you want. But only God's will for your life, only His purpose for your life, only His created design for you is what will end up having any meaning in the end. You can plan all you want, but all the planning, all the goal setting, all the dreaming, and all the working will be for nothing if you don't bring your plans into alignment with the Lord's counsel, the Lord's purpose for your life. Meaning, if your plans don't further His desire for your life, then it will be a waste. And what's His desire for your life? It's that you would be like Jesus, that you'd be conformed to His image. If your plans do not include representing Jesus, then those plans will be for nothing. They'll be futile. It'll be a waste. Yes, you may make a lot of money. You may succeed vocationally. But if you're not representing Jesus, if you're not being conformed to His image, then it isn't going to mean anything in the end. It'll all burn up. You have a little dash between 2 years on a gravestone in your life here on earth. You have a tiny, tiny fraction of time. And in the scope of all eternity, it's not even a blink of an eye. It's immeasurably small amount of time. So make good use of it. Make every moment count. You have eternity with God. You have eternity to enjoy your life. You have forever with God to enjoy the universe, whatever, however you want to look at it. But on this planet, here and now, you only have a tiny, tiny fraction of time. So stop just trying to enjoy yourself and finish your race. Run well, fight well. Fight the good fight. Cross the finish line. Do what God has called you to do. Be who you were created to be. Does this mean you can't enjoy your life while you're at it? No. I'm enjoying my life now. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 that God gives us in this life all things richly to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy your life, but if your motive is just to enjoy your life, then that root of self-preservation, self-centeredness, will make your life on earth a waste. If you ever feel dissatisfied with your life, maybe you should stop, examine yourself, and think that maybe the reason why you're so dissatisfied is because you're only living for self-preservation at the cost of your calling. Your life is being wasted, and maybe you just don't know it, haven't realized it yet. We have to think about this stuff. There are many plans in people's hearts, but the Lord's purpose, that's what will stand. That's what will have meaning in the end. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Again, if you look up the Hebrew words, what it really says is that if you commit your every action, all of your ways, if you make it your desire simply to do things for Jesus and to be like him, to accomplish his will for your life, then that is when your imagination, that's when your thoughts, that's when your goal setting, that's when your plans will become successful. Commit everything you do to accomplishing God's desire for your existence. And then your imagination, your dreaming, your goal setting, your planning will be successful and accurate. You want to plan well? You want to reach your goals? Do you want to accomplish your dreams? Commit everything you do with God's desire for your existence. That's when that will happen. Psalms 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, that's all that I want to say on this subject of how to find what to do with your life. But for the last few minutes of this episode, I want to talk about some vision, what God is doing in this ministry with Valiant Ministries International, the plans that he has in store for it, and also to request your support, whether prayerfully or financially. First of all, we are in the beginning stages of a church plant. We are going to plant a church in Minneapolis, Minnesota area, and it will be the first church plant of this ministry. My intention is to plant several churches, several locations, but this is the first of many that I see in the vision for VMI, for Valiant Ministries International. And we are looking for any kind of support we can get, whether that be funds, whether that be volunteers, prayer warriors, people to intercede for us, anything. We need all the support that we can get. And at this point, we're looking for the equipment we need. We're getting a lease for a location in place. This is something that's right around the corner. We plan on making our first Sunday morning service the beginning of February. That's the plan. And I should also explain to you guys that the vision, the mission, I should say, actually for the church, it will be called Valiant Church, is that we make disciples. I would rather have the church be small in numbers, but great in power and great in influence. I believe that God will use Valiant Church to raise an army, you could say, not just a flock of sheep, not just people who come to church to sit in a chair to listen to a minister, but people that come to be trained, to be equipped for ministry, each in their spheres of influence individually. My desire for Valiant Church is that everyone who comes in the doors, everyone who attends a service, will leave actually feeling empowered to be more like Jesus and equipped to influence someone in their life, to have an impact on someone in their life. I would rather have a church of 100 disciples than 10,000 converts. We're not trying to build a big church. We're trying to build a big people. People who love Jesus, are on fire for the Lord, and make disciples, change lives everywhere they go. Because this isn't just about having one minister to reach people and everyone else listens. This is about making multitudes of ministers out of Valiant Church, that come out of Valiant Church. That is the intention. That's my desire. That's the mission for the church. And we want to reach also the people who are marginalized. We want to reach the minorities. We want to go to the people that most people in Christian communities aren't willing to go to. Like, we want to go to the people that are in the New Age and witchcraft communities. We want to go to people who are Muslims. We want to go to Buddhists. We want to go to university students. We want to go to the people that most Christians would label as hopeless. We want to go to the people that are hard to reach, show them Jesus, bring them in, make disciples out of them. And in Minneapolis, if you don't know this already, Minneapolis is the most culturally diverse city in the nation. There's people from all over the world that live just in one city in Minneapolis. And we actually have a global reach just in Minneapolis, and it's making myself and everyone on my team really excited. There's a lot of things that are just on the horizon. We have favor surrounding us, and we are ready to go, and I am asking you simply to partner with me in accomplishing God's will for this ministry and ultimately for the whole body of Christ, because I believe, and many Christians also believe, that the time of Christ's appearing, his second coming, is very near, and I want to, along with the rest of the body of Christ, build his kingdom so that he can receive it when he comes back, and so that he can be pleased with what we did for him with our lives on earth. I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and I'm sure you do too. So I desire that you offer your prayers for VMI, for this church plant, for impacting multitudes of people of all races, of all ethnicities, of all nations, of all backgrounds, and of all philosophies, that they would come into the kingdom. Pray, and I ask also for financial support. If you have anything to give, I offer my utmost gratitude for it. Every single penny of what you give will be for the furtherance of the ministry, and it will be put to good use. If you would like to support the ministry financially, you can do so at valiantmi.com/give. That's valiantmi.com/give. So I wanted to make mention of that to you guys who are listening so that you know what God is doing with VMI, because if you're a regular listener of this podcast, you should know about this stuff. So thank you guys so much for listening. That's all that I have for today's episode. If you enjoyed, don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. Feedback is always appreciated. And share this podcast with others. Let's spread this message of reformation. If you haven't yet, be sure to visit our website at valiantmi.com/podcast. That's valiantmi.com/podcast for more information about this ministry. This podcast is available on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. If you'd like to ask a question that you'd like answered in a future episode, ask it at valiantmi.com/contact. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies.